Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. A project called South Dakota Home Garden brings you tips when it comes to gardening and planting, from videos and gardening tips, or for those videos and gardening tips, go to sdpb.org/living. Eric Helland is owner and president of Landscape Garden Centers, and he's with us today to talk lawn care. Eric Helland, welcome to In the Moment.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
You know, I'm hanging in there. How are you today?
Great, great. We got the million-dollar rain.
Yes. You know, I was just talking with a coworker the other day about chance for storms and things, and saying it's been a little dry recently, so should help folks feel at least a little better about their lawn maybe being a little greener now than it was before.
Absolutely. It was getting to be kind of a very stressful time for the lawns and plants in general, and just with that nice rain that we got, thankfully no severe weather accompanying that, but with that rain, hopefully that'll get us by us another week until the next chance for showers.
So for folks who are home a lot more often these days, the snow has melted, they're looking out their window and thinking, I should do something about my lawn.
Right,
maybe finding that next quarantine project and looking outside for this one. What are the lawn basics for folks who are new to paying that close of attention to it?
Well, now that they notice how much difference a little bit of rain can do to a lawn, it'll actually transform a lawn from kind of a yellowish, very stressed out, almost gray looking lawn to lush and green with the rain that we got. So a lot of it comes down to is how we water and how we take care of it, from fertilizing to mowing, just the regular basics of that. So right now, everybody should be mowing their lawn at least 4 inches high, even with that rainfall that we got. If we do not do that, what will happen is you're going to notice that it'll start to dry out. You'll notice striping, like where you'll damage the lawn where you mowed, so you'll leave tracks. Even footprints, things like that. So keep that grass higher at 4 inches or even higher than that, especially if you don't have an irrigation system. The other thing is mowing. Mowing services have to mow every week. That's how they get paid. If you can work it out with them, is that they skip it once in a while when it gets stressed out, that will help your lawn. Or when it comes down to you just mowing your own lawn, just mow it when it needs it. Don't mow it every week just because that's what you do. Just mow it when it needs it. And that's why when your lawn is higher, it actually shades itself out and it shades its neighbor. The grass blade will actually shade the other grass blade next to it and keep that soil cooler. Because typical bluegrass or grass that we have around here, the soil temps, once they reach a certain temperature, then what happens is the soil will actually, or the plant will just kind of shut down and just, it'll just kind of be in suspended animation and it doesn't do a lot of growing or anything. And that's where it gets stressed out. And in some cases, if people don't have an irrigation system and the lawn goes completely brown, the best thing to let it do is just let it go dormant. Now, we have not had any of those types of issues or times for the past couple of years just because we've always had enough moisture. But maybe this year will be a little bit different where the ground will actually it'll be so dry in between rains that the ground will, the grass will go brown, which is fine. That's its natural defense of going into dormancy.
So when folks are then cutting their lawn, keeping it at about that 4 inch height, once they have all their clippings, do they bag? Do they mulch?
Oh, that's a great question, Jackie. So that's to be or not to be, right? If you want to be So in some cases, you just have to pick up the grass clippings because if you don't have a really good mulching blade or a mulching blade mower, then what happens is the grass will just be really long and it'll lay flat, and then that actually shades the grass and that can cause issues too. But if you can have something that mulches it up and allows the grass clippings to drop down to the ground where the grass blade meets the surface, then that will actually decompose. And that becomes really good for thatch and anything that you've been fertilizing the lawn with, then continues to break down and provides nutrients for the grass blade that is still there planted in the ground. So I like to mulch because I don't like to bag because it's just one more step. But sometimes you just have to mow over a couple of those areas twice or three times until those grass blades, you don't see a big windrow.
I'm going to level with you, Eric. I live in a situation right now where I do not have to care for a lawn, so I'm getting a couple tips from my producer for some educated questions to ask you about lawns. And one of those is, how often should a person do power raking or aerating for their lawn?
That's another good question. So power raking is one where you're physically removing the thatch. A lot of people like to do that after a winter, and especially we'll do that as one of our services to actually remove that thatch and all the junk that's in the between the sidewalk and the street. Some people call it the boulevard or the parking, and that helps to really get rid of that stuff and everything that's been matted down from the sins of winter. But then when you brought up aerating is something that we can do. You can do that typically in the fall. The aeration part is probably the best thing for a lawn because that's what will actually put a plug or a core where it's a machine that rotates and it has these spikes on it. And the spikes are probably about 1 inch in diameter and they're hollow on the inside. So when it goes over the lawn, it pierces a hole and then it pulls that plug, that dirt plug up, and it looks like a round, people just call them turds, dirt turds. And when those lay on the ground, that leaves a hole for air to get into there, organic matter, and it actually helps promote more growth for the root system that's still existing in there. And then those plugs, soil plugs, just basically will melt away after a couple of rains or even mowing over them a few times.
We talking about how it was a little dry. We finally got some rain here in Sioux Falls yesterday. As we move through late spring and summertime and start to think about manually watering our lawns if we don't have any kind of sprinkler or irrigation system or anything like that, how often or how soon maybe should we think about starting to water the lawns ourselves, and how often do we need to?
So what I recommend is water 1 to 2 times a week, but water for a long period of time. So now that we've got a good inch of rain and Mother Nature's rain or water or sprinkler system, that water is so much better than what's coming out of all of the pipes and irrigation systems, right? So when we're watering, what we want to do is we want to water and just soak it and let it put it on there for a long period of time, because that will allow that water to just gradually seep in and then gradually reach down into the root zone. If we're only watering for short spurts, which will keep your lawn really green, it does not help it out very well as far as being handling stress. The goal is to create a deep root system so that way the roots are searching out water. You water longer, the water seeps in. If you have slopes and it's hard to keep the water on there, then what you want to do is do a cycle soak where you cycle it for 10 minutes on, then give it 10 minutes to soak in, 10 minutes back on, back and forth. And then that way you can get a good soaking. And I say 1 to 2 times a week. If you do that, you can end up with a really good lawn. The other thing you have to mind, though, is if you have trees in your yard, the trees are sucking up hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water every single day. So that's also putting stress on the lawn by removing water out of the soil.
Interesting. You mentioned watering strategies for slopes in your lawn. What about areas that might have more shade than others? Are there more strategies there?
Yeah, so that's a good point, because when there's shade, that means there's trees. And when there's trees, then what happens is, you know, they're requiring a lot more moisture. So what I would do in that case is maybe look at not having a, if the lawn is really thin or sparse, is just say, hey, you know, what's the point of trying to keep a lawn there? Let's turn this into more of a shade garden, or shade, put some shade perennials or something that you're not having to water and mow every week.
Then on the flip side of this line of questioning, how do we know before it's too late when we should stop watering?
So when you, you can tell when a lawn is dry, when you walk into it and you leave footprints, or you can kind of see that there's some graying. It'll be a really, really dull green gray. That's when you know that your lawn's kind of in trouble, and that's when you really need to soak it well. But if it's just to the point where, you know, I can't get to it, it's not going to work, then don't water, just stop watering and altogether. And once the lawn goes dormant, the last thing you want to do is sprinkle just a little bit of water on here and there. You want to be able to bring it back 100%, and that's when usually just let Mother Nature take its course, and it'll rain and it'll green up and then continue on with the lawn. So sometimes, in some cases, lawns can be just really easy to take care of if you neglect it by mowing it only when you need it. Then you can end up with still a decent lawn and not have to, you know, look for that golf course manicured look.
For folks who might still mulch their lawn, but it might have been especially long when they went through that process and there are still clippings left, is it damaging to the lawn beneath if you leave grass clippings on the lawn?
Yeah, well, so everybody knows that if you take grass clippings and you have them in a plastic bag, or if they're set in a pile, they really start to stink and they start to mold and rot and stuff like that. So that's the problem that you're going to have when you leave grass clippings on top of a good lawn, especially if they're too thick, is that they're going to shade, which actually creates a greenhouse underneath the lawn. And that can damage that lawn because you have a covering that's kind of covering up the grass that's alive. So the dead grass covers up the live grass. What you want to do with that is even just take a rake or run the mower over it a few more times, and that usually helps to break it down a little bit more.
Interesting. Turning from lawn to its enemy in some people's eyes, the weeds. What are your tips for fighting weeds this season?
Yeah, weeds are best to go to war with weeds. When you want to do that is usually in the spring, right before they're starting to pop up, because you can put down some pre-emergence or preventers that don't allow things to germinate. That works well. But then the next best time, or actually then the best time to attack weeds is going to be in the fall. And to do that right, you know, as close to the time as when you're, you know, last part of frost, right before, you know, late September, you can really get great control, because the weeds are going to be really, they're not going to have a thick waxy coating over them to help them to survive through the heat. They're going to be able to, they're going to be open and wanting to take on any type of moisture, especially if it's a chemical. They'll suck that in and then they'll be gone, and then they won't be there the next spring. So you'll have the best results by doing that in the fall.
For folks who fertilize their lawn, how often does that need to happen?
Well, typically, the whole world calls it the four-step program or the five-step program, which is just a gimmicky way of trying to sell people so you can go back to their houses to sell them lawn care and in small doses. We do it. I mean, it's one of those things that's part of our whole industry. If you're going to do it yourself and you want to do it on a budget, I would do it first once in the spring and then once in the fall. Because in between, it's not as necessary, but those are the two key times to put your fertilizer down. And then what you can do is that fertilizer, just make sure in the springtime you can get crabgrass preventer, something that's got a pre-emergent in there. In other cases, you can In the fall, then you can go with a winterizer. Both of those fertilizers, typically I have a higher phosphorus number, middle number, which then allows better that fertilizer to be used for root growth.
Are there particular, I guess you could say, ingredients or aspects of fertilizers that are more effective than others that folks need to keep an eye out for?
Well, what I would do is there's so many different things that are out there.
Yeah.
Fertilizers, look for micronutrients, things that are in there in smaller numbers. For example, like boron and zinc and magnesium and manganese, those are good, and they're really, really small micronutrients. Those really help out the whole picture, the broad picture. They're not as, like just that regular NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, and that's it. The other ones kind of help everything, because then that way you're getting an extremely well-balanced fertilizer.
We're coming up on our last minute-ish. So as we kind of recap through all of our tips today, kind of what I'm hearing from you is just like any other plant or garden you might have in your yard, the lawn itself requires some extra attention sometimes. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes neglecting it will work out just fine, and sometimes it'll come back to bite you. But at the same time, is if you can just keep it green and growing, then I think it's a win.
Right.
And just have fun with it. Don't put so much pressure on yourself to make sure that it has to look like a golf course.
For videos and other gardening tips, you can go to sdpb.org/living. Eric Helland, president and owner of Landscape Garden Centers in Sioux Falls, has been giving us our lawn tips today. Eric, thanks so much.
Thank you.